So, how are you doing? How are you doing today? Good? Good?
Liar.
That's nice. Okay. At least I have found, and tell me if this is true for you. Most of the time when I've had a conversation with someone, I mean, we give this the typical greeting, how are you? And I go, I'm fine. But if it's somebody you really know, you'll say, no, really, how are you? And usually, this is the response I probably hear the most. I'm okay. Or in some cases, that's also the opportunity to say, I'm not okay right now. So, how are you?
Good.
Some of you are doing good. Good. So, I want to sit next to you. That's good. So, so if you are doing good, that is fantastic. But if you are just feeling like you're doing okay, well, I can relate. I can relate. You know, this is a, you know, it's a season where, well, it's been a long season, hasn't it? You know, last couple years especially, where it's not that it's joyless, it's just less joy. We're here, right? And there are plenty of moments of good and plenty of things to celebrate, and it has been hard. There have been some hard losses, and there are still plenty of things that are just, they just feel kind of up in the air. It's harder to make plans, isn't it? You know, anybody planning a trip? Somewhere? Anywhere? Ah, yes. Good luck with that. Yeah. But isn't that so weird? I mean, we want things to come back to normal, and we're not there yet. We're not there yet, and it is hard. It is hard. We see people in all over the map in terms of how we're responding to that, and that is hard. We see loved ones at times with very differing opinions on how to respond to things, and that is hard. And so for many of us, and if you're doing better than this, that is fantastic. Please just thank God for how well things are going. But for many people, how are you doing? Well, I'm okay. I hope you really are okay today. Because as we're in this season of Advent, we're looking at some of these really core themes to the heart. First, we talked about hope. Last week, we looked at peace. And today, our big theme is joy. What does it mean to receive joy? And what does it mean to give joy? So, if joy has felt a little bit elusive today, or maybe this season, or this past year, or this past year and a half, or maybe the past 10 years for you, my hope is that we would be able to, well, understand joy a little bit better, but then also I want to take some time today to kind of stir your joy. Help us to remember where true joy, deeper joy, comes from. Because there is the joy that overtakes us, like the stomach flu. You're like, yes, you know, it just comes up out of nowhere. But there's also a deeper, sorry, that's a bad analogy, isn't it? I don't want to feel that kind of joy at all. But there is also a deeper joy. And it's that deeper joy that God invites us into in this Advent season. So we're going to go back into the passage, actually read the rest of the passage that Alice read for us a little earlier today. It's in Isaiah chapter 35. If you have your Bibles, paper Bibles, or your glow-in-the-dark, phone-based Bibles, we're going to be in Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10, and I want you to lock in on every time the word joy comes up. So when you hear the word joy, say it with me, okay? Because joy is our word of the day. Wow, that is cool. How did we do that? Wow, we're about to have a seizures, and that's something like that. So if you are susceptible to blinking lights, one, I don't know how to fix it. Don't tell me. And two, I am so sorry. Okay, we'll take down the social media. That's nice. All right, let's see what happens there. Wow. Hi, everybody. Okay. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for
joy.
joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. So strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your Lord will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Yes. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on them. It'll be easier to drive on them at that point, isn't it? Okay, wait, sir. The wicked fools will not be there. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the Lord, for the Lord has, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's a good prophecy, isn't it? That's what we look forward to in the new heaven and the new earth when Christ returns. All things will thrive. True shalom, true peace will mark the earth. And there will be much joy. So today I want to talk about three sources of joy. Now, one of them you're already familiar with. Actually, you're probably familiar with all of them. It's good to have some reminders though. But one of them you don't even need to really learn. It just sort of happens because the first source of joy that happens, this is the source that you just that just kind of overtakes us. And that's the joy that comes from relief from suffering. Relief from suffering. So, for example, in the Bible, we see that in when the time when the Israelites are brought out of Egypt. So, for example, Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. This is just after they've come through the Red Sea. They're on the other side. The Egyptian army has been annihilated behind them. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver. He has hurled into the sea. So there's times we are filled with joy because God is taking care of the problem that plagues us. It's relief from suffering. This is not the same level of suffering as the Red Sea, but something that comes to mind. So many of you know I spent much of September in Alaska and much longer in Alaska than I planned to be. Our team contracted COVID while we were in the remote village of Koyuk. And I hope many of you have a chance to go to Native Alaska. It is beautiful, beautiful place, absolutely marvelous people. And we experienced some tremendous hospitality there. And the quarantine location where we were, which was the very honest best they could do, did lack a few certain amenities, like a working toilet. So, while the rest of the trip we experienced really remarkable levels of hospitality from these incredible families, but when we were quarantined, our food sources now were kind of dried food or canned food that we could order from the general store and have arrive on the doorstep of the house. And so as we finally, everybody made it through quarantine and we were cleared to travel again and we traveled, get on an airplane and then we land in the city of Unalakleet. So it's the larger of the villages up in the Norton Sound area and get to walk around the village for the first time. And in the airport, there was a bathroom. And it was glorious. And so I experienced the glorious bathroom. And then I walked downtown, and there was a general store, and I went into the general store. And now, those of you that know me well know that my absolute favorite food in the world is apples. I live in the right place. This is one of a thousand things I love about Wenatchee. And so I walked down the aisle of the Uniclete general store, and there were fresh apples. They were Stamilt apples, by the way. They were labeled Cosmic Crisp. They were not. But paid way more for that apple than I would normally pay, and I was glad to pay for an apple. So I got an apple and a slice of pizza, hot pizza. And there within eyesight was a working bathroom. And I was filled with joy. And I told myself, I will never take a working bathroom for granted again. I will never take access to fresh fruit for granted ever again. And then I got on an airplane, and by midnight that night, I was back home in Wenatchee and was able to sleep in my own bed, in my own house, a house that has not one, but two working toilets. Two of them. It is fantastic. And I told myself I would never take it for granted again. And by 3 days later, I had totally taken it for granted. I got used to the luxuries that I'd been accustomed to my whole life. Right? See, that's the problem. That's the one problem with the joy that is a response to suffering, is it tends to be fairly short-lived. Tends to be fairly fleeting, which is why we need to also tap into some of the deeper sources of joy. Now, I hope you have much joy because of a blessing, something that gets returned to you, that medical test that comes back better than expected, that, you know, the windfall of money that shows up at just the right time, the indoor plumbing that you will know, you will tell yourself you will never take it for granted again. I hope you have many such joyful moments. But for deeper forms of joy, we need to go deeper. So we need to look at the second source of joy, and that is gratitude. That's gratitude. So in Colossians 3:16, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It's interesting how gratitude ends up getting linked to wisdom. It gets linked to what it means to be teaching one another, to be sharing the message of Christ. Gratitude is absolutely key. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point number two, because we've just made it through Thanksgiving. We talked about gratitude, though I would, again, just encourage you, find a way to build gratitude into your life. So if you're growing in prayer, and you've got some sort of a prayer journal, I've already told... I've mentioned this in other points. One of the ways where I'm growing in my prayer life is just the discipline each day of trying to write down somewhere as I'm praying for different people and different things and talking to God about what I'm feeling, which is super important as well, just to learn ways to be actually honest with your Heavenly Father, but is to just start listing things that you are grateful for. So that can be the big things, like, you know, I'm grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful for the cross. It is also appropriate to be grateful for small things, like indoor plumbing. It's fine. In fact, sometimes it's really good because we forget how good we actually have it. As we practice gratitude, even in the small things, maybe even especially in the small things, some of our joy comes back. If you have a car, if it runs, maybe even if it doesn't, thank you, God. If you had breakfast this morning, Lord, thank you. If you've experienced running water recently, Lord, thank you. So it's okay. It's okay to thank God for the little things. Practice gratitude. Gratitude leads us to joy. The third area, third source of joy, is the anticipation of good things. When we're looking forward to something really good happening. Now, to illustrate this, we're not going to put it up just yet, but we're going to put up a clip this is probably one of the most famous moments in daytime television. And you might even know what this is already. But on September 13th of 2004, there was, in the afternoons, there was a talk show called Oprah. Okay, some of you might even remember what was going on here. But so this was a pretty dramatic moment. So I want to show a clip of that moment. It's just really short, but then I want to talk about some things that we see in this clip that actually teaches us quite a bit about joy. So let's run that clip.
Everybody in the audience, now listen to me carefully, is being given a special package, and I don't want you to open it. Do not open it. Cameras are on you, so do not open until I tell you. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3.
So on that day,
everybody in the audience, now listen to me. There
we go. Is Oprah Winfrey gave away 276 Pontiac GT sedans. Now, as it turns out, of course, Pontiac actually had donated the sedans to give away. Though in Oprah's defense, she paid the sales tax on it and on each of the cars, and also was willing to pay some of the additional income tax that. If a family couldn't afford the about $6,000 that Uncle Sam would get from them receiving that gift. So it was honestly, at least, it was a publicity stunt, but at least honestly generous. But there's something, so in that moment, you get a car. It's like the audience just erupted with joy, right? Would you? Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. But here's something I want you to notice. In this clip where they're erupting with joy, you get a car. Had any one of them received a car yet? No. Why were they going bonkers? Because Oprah told them they were getting a car. And I want to move slowly on this point because this ends up being really key. Okay? Now, Oprah Winfrey, at the time, and still, is one of the richest people in entertainment. So Oprah Winfrey had the capacity to give them a car, right? And Oprah Winfrey had a history of giving away cool stuff on her show. So every audience member was aware that Oprah was capable of giving a car. And Oprah had a history of giving things away. That's why, as Oprah's, as these boxes are being distributed and as, car keys are being pulled out of these boxes, every audience member, all 276 audience members, believed they were receiving a car. And they did. And yet none of them, in that moment, had yet received the car. Imagine if you were walking in downtown Wenatchee, let's say outside the Empire, and a guy, middle of the day, comes stumbling out, and he says, You get a car! Can you help me find my car? You probably would not erupt with enthusiasm. Why?
He doesn't have the money.
Because he probably doesn't have the money. He's probably not capable of giving you a car. So you might say, can I call you a cab? You might try to help this person out. I hope you would. But you wouldn't erupt with joy because they probably have no capacity to give you a car. And you have never seen them give anybody anything at this point. Joy is found in the anticipation of good things. When we hear words of promise from somebody that we know has the capacity to deliver on that promise, and has a history of faithfulness to that promise, then joy rises up in us. I'm walking us slowly through this point, but this is so vitally important, okay? As we hear these promises of Scripture, we're hearing them from God through His Word. And we're hearing them, especially the ones that we're about to take a look at, we're hearing them from Jesus. Now, did you know that Jesus foretold His death and resurrection? So we see it in Matthew 16, in Mark 8, in Luke 9. But I'm just going to read Matthew 16 for us. Okay, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And that he says, as He puts it, and I must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Jesus foretold His death, and Jesus foretold His resurrection. Hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament foretold His death, and a few foretold His resurrection. And it happened exactly like Jesus said. Let me see your eyes. It happened exactly like Jesus said. And this same Jesus that foretold His death and foretold His resurrection, no matter how outlandish it might even seem for Him to be resurrected, and yet in His resurrection, up to 500 people at once saw it, and they were so profoundly changed by what they saw that those men and women would change the world. Every single one of them would either die or risk their own death rather than deny what they saw in the resurrection. Jesus foretold His death, Jesus foretold His resurrection, and then He fulfilled His promise just like He said. He had the capacity. He has the capacity. And Jesus has the history of faithfulness in keeping His promises. Do you hear me, church? This same Jesus that foretold His death and foretold His resurrection, and it was abundant evidence of His death, abundant evidence of His resurrection. Both are historical facts that you can look into as deeply as you need to look. These things happened, and they happened just like Jesus said. Are you with me? Because here's where we're going. The same Jesus that foretold His death and foretold His resurrection made some promises to you. And I want to stir your joy this morning. I want to stir your joy by hearing some of those promises. Now, if you want, I also printed off some little sheets of this. And you'll see them in the back of the room. You can pick them up later. I'm just going to put some stuff up on the screen here. But and if you're joining us online, if you go to columbiagrove.org, message notes, you'll see all of these same promises. So you can stir your joy a little bit later if you need a refill. Because you probably will, because your in-laws are coming. Stir your joy. The same Jesus that foretold his death and his resurrection says this to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. You get a room. You get a room. You get a room. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? You get a place. You get a place. You get a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You get to be with me. You get to be with me. You get to be with me. And then later on, through the Apostle Paul, this promise is delivered. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You, through Christ, receive eternal glory. And some of you are real quiet about it. Actually, I'm not looking to necessarily just pump the room and get us jumping up and down. But what I do hope is as we hear these promises of Jesus, it will stir deep, deep joy. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings, are you suffering? You probably are. And our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, He, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. You get a new resurrected body. You have the privilege of living in a new heaven and a new earth where everything has been made new, it has been redeemed, where sin is eradicated and everything finally, finally, finally works properly. Stir your joy. These are promises from the very same Jesus. And Jesus keeps his promises. Yes. So what are you looking forward to? Now, I do hope you're looking forward to Christmas. I do hope you have trips in the future that you look forward to. We have a high school graduation coming up in our family. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you have things that you are looking forward to. But in those moments where it is harder to look forward to something, maybe you need to look a little further forward. You have a place. You will receive a resurrected body one day through Jesus Christ. You and I and we, as we place our trust and hope in Him, you and I and we will inherit a new heaven, a new earth, where all things are finally set right. Where the burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. Where the eyes of the blind will be opened. Where the deaf, ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Where the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. What are you looking forward to? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you that you keep your promises. And so, Lord, we trust you. And in those parts of our life where we have a hard time trusting you, Lord, we want to trust you. Increase our faith. Increase our joy. Thank you that you are the ultimate giver of joy, because you are the ultimate redeemer of this world. And you're the ultimate redeemer of our lives. Thank you, God, that you have not given up on us yet. Thank you, God, you haven't given up on me yet. Thank you, God, that you are good. Lord, may you get all the glory, all the honor. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.